Sunday night in Westford with the Briggs family. They've polished off the meal of chicken and mushrooms that Nadine fixed early this morning in the crock pot before everybody rushed off to soccer. Now that the kids, Trent and Megan, have finished their ice cream and Jeff's done the dishes, it's time for the weekly game of Mexican train dominoes. Trent is 10, Megan 12 and a half. They spread the tiles onto the kitchen table in their spacious suburban home, getting ready to play.
We're all done with our lines, and she'll be like, okay, one, two, three. She'll take them off.
Sometimes you bring a magazine. Kind of flip through that a little bit.
Trent and Nadine gently rib Megan about her slow pace. Megan takes longer to develop a strategy and place her tiles because she has Down syndrome. No one at this table confuses speed and ability. If they are patient, they expect Megan will participate in everything and be a worthy competitor. And that's how it's always been, Nadine says.
She's always been very focused and very driven. Like I said, even in there, where she, in playing dominoes, she wants to win. And when she played soccer today, she wants to win. She wants to get A's. She wants to get hundreds. She's very much the perfectionist in that way. And I think that that drive has just really carried her far because she tries so hard rather than giving up. I mean, she never gives up.
Megan isn't the only determined member of the family. Her parents decided early on that the best way to support their daughter was to make sure she was always placed in a general education classroom, starting in kindergarten. Nadine refused to give in to what she calls the turnip treatment.
Back not even 50 years ago, people with Down syndrome and other special needs were put in institutions, and if you treat somebody like a turnip, they're going to be a turnip. And if you treat somebody like a person with high expectations and like a capable young woman, they're going to be a capable young woman. And so the turnip treatment would produce turnips.
The Briggses say that this inclusion approach has worked for Megan. She participates in everything from social studies to school plays. Karen Popp is the inclusion facilitator at the Bigelow Middle School in Newton. She supervises 11 severely disabled students who have been placed in general education classrooms. Pop says that the inclusion model isn't just good for kids with special needs.
It works because everybody learns. You know, when there's an inclusive classroom, there are more teachers in the classroom. Teachers flow over to all kids. They don't just help the kids that they're assigned to, particularly for that day or for that year. It's a support system for teachers that may need some help in understanding different learners and getting materials together. It just works because it just provides a community within school that gets kids ready for the community outside of school.
Not every family whose children have special needs reports positive experiences with inclusion. Heather Metcalf of North Reading says that her son, Keaton, could not get the remediation he needed for dyslexia until he was placed in an intensive private setting. Keaton was diagnosed as dyslexic in first grade. A specialist worked with Keaton a few hours a week outside of his general education classroom, but Heather says he still wasn't reading by the end of third grade in public school.
The problem is, in remediation with students like Keaton, it's about intensity. It's about giving the kids very intensive services to remediate.
The district proposed that Keaton have a halftime aide to help him read and write in his general education classroom. The plan outraged Heather.
I wrote what was an 11-page letter back to the special education director, citing all of the reasons why we were not going to give up on Keaton Metcalf and why he was going to have the opportunity to go to a place that specializes in remediation of his issues. And we believed fully that he would be able to independently read and write someday.
Heather convinced the school system to pay to place Keaton in a private school that specializes in teaching dyslexic students. Keaton was sounding out words and reading simple books within a year at the new school. This past September, after 5 years of specialized remediation, Keaton rejoined general education. He is currently midway through his freshman year at a private prep school at his family's expense.
For the most part, the districts do a good job with those kids.
That's Bob Gass. He spent 40 years working with out-of-district placements for students with special needs. Currently, Gass is the executive director of the North Shore Education Consortium in Beverly. The problem, he says, is that too often schools rely on what he calls a fail-up model.
We try everything first, and before you get what you probably needed in the beginning, what happens, we have a fail-up model sometimes in special education. Well, we have to try this first, we have to try that second, we have to try this third, we have to try that fourth. Well, if all of these are failing, after a period of time, the kid has incorporated this into essentially a resume of failure. And that is when you've got big trouble.
Gass says schools are cash-strapped and hesitant to spend resources before they absolutely must. Rather than approaching remediation in a piecemeal way, public schools relying on inclusion models need to give students as much help as they can from the get-go. This saves money on out-of-district placements in the long run, Gass says, and it remains true to the spirit of inclusion.
That's extra why fun when Dad loses.
Yeah.
It's kind of part of the entertainment.
Back at the Briggs house, Megan is busy winning at dominoes. The family says the benefits of inclusion filter into all aspects of their lives. The Briggs believed so strongly in what they saw happening in Megan's classrooms that they enrolled Trent in the inclusion preschool his sister had attended. Nadine says Trent stands up for all kids who are different. He recently challenged Scholastic Dictionary's description of Down syndrome, convincing the publisher to remove what he calls the R word, or retarded, from its definition. Because of special education inclusion, Nadine says, her children are growing up assuming that they are fully included in each other's lives, at school and at home, playing dominoes. For WGBH, I'm Kathy Corman in Westford.